Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thanks for being with us this afternoon. So, of course, we have the political election results, and we know that Donald Trump is the next president. He is the president-elect. But I think that it's, you know, every day that we get a little bit further away from the just shock of Donald Trump won the election, which is going to take me a minute. I'm going to relive that, oh, yeah, moment quite a bit, I think. Have you been having that moment yet?
Oh, every day. Every time it's brought up, I'm like, oh yeah, this is really happening. I think because every time it's brought up, it's usually along with some sort of news item. The ball is moving forward. Mm-hmm. I saw today that immediately after we saw Trump speak on Tuesday night, which is where we had been on all night, you know, a lot of people, that's when they kind of shut it down for the night and said, okay, I've been up pretty late. I'm going to go to bed now. We did the same. Immediately after that, you thought, now he's probably going to go to sleep too. You know, it's probably time. And I read that he started calling staff and saying, hey, tomorrow morning we're meeting to start with transition.
Let's go.
And they were all like, oh, man.
They're drunk.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. But no, but that was very encouraging to me because what you want is that there be no time wasted. And this team that he's got, they know that. And he knows that. And so he said, election's over. Great. Let's go to work tomorrow morning.
Love it.
Yeah.
Really love it. I think that there will be lots of studies. This political comeback is, to use a phrase, like nothing we've ever seen before.
It's true, though.
And huge and beautiful.
Huge.
We talk all the time about how politics reflects the culture. And I think that at least the three of us in this room, correct me if I'm wrong, that the political climate we've been in for the last 4 years, we've been weeping for the culture for much longer than that, even leading into Donald Trump. And I would actually ironically say that Donald Trump and the version of politician that he is a product of culture that makes me a little sad. You know, that the bombastic nature of Donald Trump. But it's, you know, not the hero you want, but the hero you need for some people. Other people love him, and I understand that as well. I think that he has been so incredibly disadvantaged to the lying and the deceit and the framing that has been used against him. It's like, oh, here are his flaws. Okay, do the next person. Pick any random person off the street. And I actually think that in a secular note-by-note comparison, that Donald Trump probably wins out most of the time on who you are as an individual. But culturally, I mean, what affects culture? I think religion dramatically affects culture. Our priority or deprioritization of family has a huge, huge effect on culture, because it's like, what are we trying to prop up and what are we trying to squash down? So I came across this, and I want to go through this Twitter X thread. I said this yesterday and I'm going to commit to it here to you. Out of just massive unfettered respect for Elon Musk, we got to start calling it X. We got to start saying post instead of tweet, repost instead of retweet for Elon. Right? I think so.
And by the way, the reason, if you hear all this and you're like, why do they talk about Twitter so? Why does everybody, not just us, but why do people talk about Twitter so much? A lot of people aren't on X as much as we talk about it. It's because so much of the news cycle is driven mm-hmm. by what happens there.
Or what, so much of what is in the news cycle is discussed on X. And if you can discuss an alternative point of view and then back that up with evidence that the mainstream media won't show you, you crack the narrative. They don't have the power any longer because you are able to speak freely, and you were not specifically on Twitter in the 2020 election allowed to speak freely. You are actually relegated away from the conversation and disallowed to converse. And Elon Musk said, how much is it? And he bought it, and he made it so that Twitter is now X and it's free, which is why I believe we should very much so work to just change the vernacular, whether you like it or not. If you respect Elon Musk and you're grateful for what he did, we should call it X. So here's a thread by Paul Anleitner, who is on X. His bio says, I write and speak on the intersection of religion and culture, science and philosophy, author of Disordered. He's got a master's of in arts of Christian thought at Bethel Seminary. That's his bio. He said, I don't study politics, but I do study culture. And here are some of the signs that a cultural shift has been brewing for years in America that most of the professional political analysts just completely missed. Some of these may seem absurd, but hear me out. And I find this interesting, and this is why it caught me, because Top Gun Maverick shocked the world. This is an article from November of 2022 on BBC. But this is what Paul writes about this on X. He says, the popular success of Top Gun Maverick after the killing of George Floyd and the subsequent protests and rioting in 2020, it seemed to many in the intelligentsia that, quote, culturally relevant films needed to directly address DEI or systemic race issues to find wide appeal. Top Gun Maverick instead leaned heavily on classical modernist heroism themes embodied by a white male protagonist and Tom Cruise, of course, as Maverick, who is traditional, rule-breaking figure dedicated to honor, duty, and meritocracy. Maverick represented more traditional American values of meritocracy over aristocracy amid what was supposed to be a cultural revolution intended to set up a new inverted aristocracy. That's all very, very well-spoken, well-written way to say they decided they wanted to just go tell a great story with a good guy and a bad guy with the most American way you can do it, the success of the American military, and they wanted to do it in the biggest, boldest way they could in theater. They just wanted to entertain you and tell you a story that you wanted to see, not the story they wanted you to swallow, to force it down your throat. And I remember when Top Gun Maverick was doing so well, and my husband and I went to the theater to see it because everyone was saying, Tom Cruise himself was saying, we made this for your theater experience. Like we created this movie for you to feel the leather of the movie theater seat, to feel the bass of the jets in the theater, to experience that once again. That was the whole story. And there was never anything woke surrounding it. It was just like, we want to tell you the best story we can, and we want to do it in an American movie-making fashion so that you can have the most entertaining experience. And wow, it was so strange to not be like, well, what's the part of this movie that I'm going to roll my eyes at?
Right.
When I'm in there. They just didn't do it. And it's interesting to me that they're leading a cultural shift evidence with this movie.
And it was out of Hollywood. It wasn't some random indie movie.
Tom Cruise.
It's Tom Cruise, yeah. Which people, for all the indie movies have done great because there's a lack of these things. Mm-hmm. But when Hollywood does it and they do it right, that's when you see massive success.
$124 million 3-day opening. And that's the funny part about it. They didn't have to tell us it was good. They got us to go to the theater. And then people were like, you have to see this movie. You want to talk about capitalism? Find out what the people want and give it to them. And they were willing to do that in 2022, and it was refreshing. The next post he has in this thread is the mass cultural influence of anti-woke comedians. While it seems that many of the political talking heads had no idea who Tony Hinchcliffe was until his Puerto Rico joke at Trump's Madison Square Garden rally, Hinchcliffe's show Kill Tony is one of the most watched, listened to podcasts in America. His show has sold out Madison Garden and other major arenas numerous times. He goes on to say Hinchcliffe, Joe Rogan, Theo Vaughn, and others have far more influence with everyday Americans, especially men, than the old comedic vanguard of Saturday Night Live. When you compare the way people consume media in like YouTube shorts, TikTok, Instagram stories and all that stuff, all of these little capsules of entertainment that exist, and you know that those names, that's where they thrive, and then people go to see their stories. Like, these people have the cultural relevance in comedy specifically, that when Saturday Night Live goes out and does their Saturday Night Live thing, it actually feels very old and aged. And like, okay, I guess they do those things.
That's completely true. It just feels like, oh, this is kind of like the old guard. They're doing their thing. Okay.
And doesn't it feel, I mean, of course, Saturday Night Live has been very left, not of center, just very left for quite some time. But doesn't it feel like what they are doing, it feels like they're playing it super safe.
Yes.
Like, that's the thing about it that's so disappointing. Like, the really edgy thing that you would hope Saturday Night Live, and I don't think that the generation who's watching Saturday Night Live has ever seen Saturday Night Live be edgy. It's so predictably safe. What comedy is super predictable and safe? You lose the humor in it when you know exactly what they're going to do before the joke is even on the paper.
It's so true. And it's why the next morning people will be talking about when they do something that's cultural and doesn't toe the line. Everybody's talking about it. The left and the right are talking about it.
This Saturday, do they pay homage to Kamala Harris, or do they acknowledge that the majority of the country voted for Donald Trump? And I mean, honestly, what I would want them to do is make fun of both of them.
Yeah, I don't know how they'll handle it. I mean, Weekend Update will be the big key. But I can pretty much guarantee, and I don't know for sure, that they don't do a cold open with what's-her-face sitting on a piano crying.
Yes. Kristen, not Kristen Wiig, the other one.
Yeah, I can't remember her name either.
The sappy sadness when Hillary Clinton lost. Folks, ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking straight at you right now. I need you to listen to me. If you are devastated today because you've been told that America hates women so much that they didn't want to hand over the job just because she was a woman, can you think of any women in your life that you don't think should be in charge of the country? Do you want Britney Spears to be in charge of the country? She's a woman. Is that all that matters to you? Don't you believe that she should be a qualified woman? Because here's my point. You believe that you want to have a female be the president. I do too. I am very much in favor of that. You believe that Kamala Harris is qualified for the job and would do a good job. I do not believe that. So you see here, the key element is not the fact that she's a woman. She's not the correct woman for the job. Because I could list off 100 different women, and you wouldn't want them to be running the country. If the gender is the thing that qualifies them in your mind, and that's it, then you should be in agreement that Cardi B should absolutely take over the office of the presidency over Donald Trump. And I'm sure that there are some people who believe that. If your argument is that, yes, you desperately want to see a woman be the president of the United States, and that you feel that Kamala Harris is the qualified right woman to do it, then your problem and your disagreement with me is her ability to do the job, not that she is a she who is going to do the job. Do you see the difference? Men do not hate women in this country. In fact, they love them very much. That's just the science of it. The fact that Kamala Harris wasn't chosen by men and women in this country to win this election is she's just not the right woman. And I would venture to say that had Tulsi Gabbard run in this election, she would have the support of Republicans and Democrats alike, and that people would be running to the polls to elect Tulsi Gabbard to be the first female president of the United States because she's the right woman for the job. Not because she's a woman. It's a cherry on top. I'm so sad to hear that all of these people are so sad that they believe what they've been fed, that America hates women and doesn't believe that they can do the job. They most certainly do. Kamala Harris, she just wasn't it. It's the qualifications that we disagree on, not the gender.
The numbers don't make any sense either. I mean, this is people coping openly in the media that are saying this stuff. Mm-hmm. Because more women voted for Donald Trump this time than last time. More of every possible demographic and racial group that you can find voted for Donald Trump this time.
And you can't advocate that you should elect a woman just because she's a woman, and because she's a woman, she would be better at the job, when you see that more women are voting for Donald Trump. So women are either better at the job and capable of thinking for themselves, or you're saying some women are better at the job and capable for thinking for themselves, but the women who are voting for Trump, they are not capable of thinking for themselves. So then again, it's not a gender thing.
Yeah.
It depends on the person. And Kamala Harris was not a good candidate. And here's the ridiculous part about it. They know that.
Yes, they know that.
The reason they know that is because the fact that she's the woman is the leading reason they're using as to why she didn't get elected.
Remember when they would go up on the street for the last month and go, hey, why are you voting for anybody? Doesn't matter. Yeah. Just tell me why you're voting for who you're voting for. And a lot of people would say, well, Trump, because I want to get the economy back on track. I don't like inflation, border, whatever. That was pretty much the ones. That was what they'd say about Trump. He drives me crazy, but I really liked 2019, you know, whatever. And then about Kamala, it was almost exclusively, well, she's younger and
she's not an old dying white guy.
And that's great. And I think new leadership, generational leadership, and she's a woman.
Yeah.
And it was like that.
How do you know?
That's a good question.
I just play by their rules when it's fun. More on the culture shift that may or may not be happening in the United States right now. Let us know in the YouTube chat if you think that there is an actual real cultural shift happening. And also go vote in today's YouTube live chat poll. Will we see an orderly transfer of power? Yes or no? Kamala Harris yesterday and today, the president, Joe Biden, have both emphasized that there will be an orderly transfer of power and that they will be very helpful in making that possible for Donald Trump. We'll see if that's going to happen, and we want to know what you think. So go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel and vote. When we come back, a few more reasons why maybe, just maybe, we are seeing a real cultural shift in the United States. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's how I live. I don't know why, but I feel more comfortable.
While I concede this election, I do not concede the fight that fueled this campaign. The fight for freedom, for opportunity, for fairness, and the dignity of all people. A fight for the ideals at the heart of our nation, the ideals that reflect America at our best. That is a fight I will never give up.
Well, Kamala Harris isn't giving up the fight, and I'm pretty sure that Donald Trump didn't give up the fight after he lost in 2020. So I don't know that when you listen to what she's saying there, she's trying to motivate her people to continue on, and I get it. But we did hear from both Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. They're going to invest in a peaceful transition of power, the orderly transfer of power. That's what they said. Do you believe it? Annie Fry YouTube channel in the YouTube live chat poll today. You can tell us, will we see an orderly transfer of power? Yes or no? We'd love to know what you think on that. We'll get the results from Ethan here in about 25 minutes or so. We've been talking about a culture shift. And I'd actually be more excited for a culture shift for my children's sake and my grandchildren's sake eventually than I would a political shift. But we're talking about some evidence from Paul Antleitner's, it's at Paul Antleitner on X, if you want to go follow him and see this thread for yourself. The first piece of evidence, they said, was the success of Top Gun Maverick. And I completely agree with that. It seems kind of obscure, but I do believe that that was an indication that America was getting kind of tired of what was being forced fed to us from an entertainment standpoint. And then the second point they made was anti-woke comedians who came out and started just saying what they wanted to say and actually being funny. The third one that they have here that we haven't touched on yet is very interesting. Going back to what Tyrus said on this show, he said that Kamala Harris ran the Bud Light of campaigns. Paul writes on X, he said, major corporations making cuts to DEI programs. After 2020, major corporations made concerted efforts to increase funding and attention to diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. By 2024, we began to see corporations making cuts to those same programs. Only one candidate and party was running on being the anti-DEI option. If people were beginning to reject these initiatives, it would make some sense that their views would also be expressed at the ballot box. Robbie Starbuck, who's been on this show before, is kind of had his a lot of time. He's a director. He's been with a lot of Hollywood-like folks, has been on a mission to get to the bottom of what various companies, American companies across the nation, what have they invested in and how do they prioritize DEI? And the second it seems like he is sniffing on their trail and they realize it, they start cutting things like crazy. We've seen this. I don't even know if it's been a full year that we've started to see the move away from this. It's probably Bud Light. Bud Light's probably
the rubric
for what happens next. But when it used to be everybody was adding new DEI stuff, it is the trend to go, okay.
It's like people in corporate America just need a permission slip to say, yeah, we know that this isn't actually doing anything because statistically they, and I think most of them know this, although the true believers will never stop, but it doesn't actually accomplish.
Did you say believers?
I didn't mean to,
but
I did.
What does Bieber have to say do with this?
I didn't mean to bring him. I'm sorry, Justin. I know you're listening.
He's like, leave me out of it.
Peace be upon him.
Yeah, right. Peace be with you, Justin. You can go your way. You were not involved in this. But there are the corporate movement toward this has been just that. It's been corporate. They don't care. Mm-hmm. They're covering their butts legally. And everybody knows it. That's what's so funny, mm-hmm. is that whenever you're going through these things,
you're like, okay.
You're just sort of like waiting for the video to end. And then you go, all right, what's the question? All right, I got to do that. Okay, whatever.
And from a corporate standpoint, too, and this is like, to me, the number one thing that Disney has done in the DEI sense that is so disingenuous to me is that they're selling it to you. They're doing it so they can sell it to you. They don't even necessarily believe what they're saying or doing, but they feel like if they front like they're the most DEI organization, that will make the dollars flow into the company, which is super capitalistic of them.
Yes.
And
yes.
They should get back to the business of doing the Maverick, Top Gun Maverick thing, going, what do the people want? Let's give it to them. And, you know, as long as these companies don't do that, they suffer.
And this is where a culture shift matters, because if there's a culture shift, they're going to read that and go, oh, things are kind of moving this way. Okay. And they just paddle their boat in that direction.
The next one that he has on here, which I find very interesting and something I talk about a lot, it says enrollment surges at K-12 Christian schools. If you talk to just about anyone who works in a private Christian school, the post-COVID spike in enrollment has been unprecedented. I can vouch for that. I've seen had a front row view for that. But it wasn't just that many Christian schools found ways to provide more in-person education during the COVID years. Also true. It was that many families who weren't even explicitly professing Christians were looking for educational environments that simply weren't teaching experimental progressive ideologies on gender and sexuality. That is, like, you have an understanding of what you're going to get in a Christian school, and you're going to get an education. There's going to be Christianity involved in that teaching, of course. So you go to a Catholic school, you're going to get a Catholic education, a Lutheran school, which I advocate wholeheartedly for and am glad to partner with here on this show, send my kids to a Lutheran school, went to a Lutheran school myself. I know a lot of families who go to these Lutheran schools who are not Lutheran at all.
I was going to say the same thing. And it's, they send, because my wife is a Christian school teacher.
And now, that's non-denominational, right?
Non-denominational. Yeah. I mean, it's at a Baptist church, yeah. But I don't think they say we're a Baptist school or anything. It's just a Christian school. And they do get kids. Now, most kids who go there are Christian, but, and the families are, but they do get quite a few kids who are just, parents who just say, look, I don't really know what the public school is going to teach. It might be fine.
Yeah.
But I know that you're not going to teach those
Correct.
Things. So I'm just going to send my kids there and be able to kind of throw my hands up and go, okay, you're fine.
There's enough to worry about as a parent while you've got a kid who's trying to learn, you know, to get all the educational standards met, the social things that you have to go through, all of that. That you want to just be able to turn over some of that to the school and know and trust that they're going to handle that situation in a way that you know and respect, and that you shouldn't have to get lucky with the teachers your kids get in order to know that they're not going to be indoctrinated in things that have nothing to do with the curriculum in hand.
Exactly. By the way, I looked up the movies this year, since you were talking about Maverick, and that wasn't this year.
No.
But looking at the box office totals, we're in November, so a little time left here, but Reagan is one of the top 50 of the year.
Oh.
That one's made $30 million, and in the top 100, Am I Racist?
Top 100 movies?
That movie is not an expensive movie to make.
No.
That is a documentary.
I mean, not on the whole, but if you do watch the movie, they do tally how much they had to pay all these people to sit down.
Yes.
And these people are willingly sitting down with them to have a conversation with somebody who they've completely not vetted just for like a cool $50K.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Talk to me.
Yeah.
I got stuff to say. The next one, this is one of the reasons why I put this on here, because this is specifically for you, Brad. The Star Wars wars. Since Disney's release of its divisive Star Wars, The Last Jedi, in 2017, Star Wars has been embroiled in an online culture war. Silly as it may sound to some, Star Wars has become an important myth in our culture, and challenges to mythos, meaning challenges to cultural power and influence. One faction of the Star Wars war wanted the storytelling to reflect more progressive, postmodern, and post-colonial values. The most quintessential iteration of this vision for Star Wars was the recent series The Acolyte. The divide between professional reviewers and average fans was emblematic of the cultural divide between intelligentsia and middle America. The Acolyte was canceled, and all of its merchandise was scrubbed from Disney's online store. It appeared that this particular faction had lost the Star Wars war.
That's crazy, because guess what they just announced today?
Star Wars great again?
No, they're going to do a new Star Wars trilogy. And they're going to start with episode 10. So it'll be 10, 11, and 12. The Star Wars saga.
Wow, that's big news.
That's in USA Today today.
I had no idea.
Yeah, I saw a tweet from a guy
Who's directing it?
I haven't
Psycho
had a
lady?
Chance to read this yet. I saw a tweet during the show about it, and then I'm like, well, I got to look this up. But yeah. What's her name? I can't think
Catherine
of her name.
Catherine something, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Put a chick in it and make her lame.
Darth Vader?
Yeah.
If they put her in there, the Force's female lady, if they put her in here, this thing is DOA. It's dead on arrival.
Do they hate money?
They're having to reboot the franchise because they've run it
so hard. Starting with nine. You just said a whole bunch of Star
starting
Wars things.
Starting with 10.
Okay, just stop. I don't know what that means.
Okay.
For the non-Star Wars people out there, what?
So the ones that came out in the 70s, that was episode 4, 5, and 6.
So that's the original. That's the one that made everybody fall in love.
Right.
Then what?
Then episodes 1, 2, and 3 came out.
Those are terrible.
Not anymore, though.
Okay.
So 1, 2, and 3 came out, which were the prequels. They tell how we got to 4, 5, and 6.
Uh-huh.
And then after that, Disney bought Star Wars. That's when they released The Force Awakens, which is 7, 8, and 9. 8 is The Last Jedi, and then the 9 is The Rise of Skywalker. That's when Disney had it, and that's where it made the turn. The Last Jedi was terrible. The Force Awakens
was
very milquetoast, very safe.
Yeah.
But then the last two episodes were just awful. And then
was it force feeding a cultural view?
Yes.
Force feeding.
Yes. Absolutely. And they gutted the whole series of what made Star Wars Star Wars.
They took the
main male lead and they made him a wuss. Like Luke Skywalker.
Well, it's because he's a man.
Exactly. He wouldn't give up on his dad, who was the most evil person in the galaxy. If you haven't watched
them. Is that Kylo Ren?
No.
Darth Vader.
Darth Vader.
No, are you talking about...
About Luke.
Kylo Ren's dad is Hans.
Han.
Von Spakovsky.
Han.
Han Solo. Hans.
So anyway.
Oh, Kylo Ren of the Heritage Foundation.
Yeah. He's with Project 2025. That's where
Watch
it came
out.
From.
More!
I only know Star Wars and gifts.
I would pay to watch that episode.
It's funny to joke about Project 2025 now.
But the thing about it was they completely undermined Luke's character, who was a hopeful, happy, good guy who never gave up, and they turned him into this whiny, sobby little
wuss.
No,
I don't think that's how it happened.
They just turned him into Mark Hamill.
I think you did. Yeah. Okay, you took my joke.
Sorry.
No, it's all right. I know that one, too. Also from X. Yeah, I think that they just were like, just be you, man.
He's like, oh, go
be you. Okay, I got some ideas for this character, then.
Yeah.
But
they killed off all the characters of the main characters. What's in the past needs to die was a line in one of the movies, and it just made the movies stupid, and they just kept injecting the quote-unquote message into the movies, and then the movies...
And people are like, your message sucks.
Yeah.
The next one from Paul Entlightner is, this is funny to me, the meta-modern resurgence of Creed.
This is so funny.
What?
I talked about this ad nauseum last year when I became the guy who predicted the resurgence of Creed before it happened, so I won't repeat all my talking points here, but you can't understand the meta-modern shift unless you get, quote, vibes, which is basically culture. Our cultural vibe shifted to Creed, so if you ask yourself which party seems to give the most pro-Creed vibes, it's a pretty easy answer.
I'm sorry. I am not on board with that one.
He's postmodern.
I have never been a fan of Creed, even when it was cool like Creed.
Destructive cynicism.
What?
It says here. it gives the Creed timeline.
Yeah.
Modern is sincerity, and you say Creed is awesome, and then it moves to Creed is corporate butt rock, deconstructive cynicism. That's you.
Yeah, that's right.
And this is a postmodern.
I've never left that spot.
Which then goes to Creed is awesome, LOL, which is classified as ironic criticism, into Creed is awesome, post-ironic sincerity.
I'm still deconstructive cynicism. And I'm sticking to that.
That should have been your Halloween costume. Deconstructive cynicism, and you could have been Stapp. All right. I do agree. I mean, maybe you don't agree with the Creed thing, but I do agree. Like, the fact that even Creed could be made popular again by way of its re-entry into culture.
Through irony.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yes. I get that.
Yes. But, I mean, the rest of it, comedy, Maverick, schools, just all of these things have an undertone, not of what I would call Christian conservatism or whatever, but of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Of don't come and tell me what to do, how to live my life. I want to be me. If I want to like Creed, deal with it. I like Creed. That's, I mean, kind of the way that we get to at the end of all of this. And the president that ran on making America great again, and if you understand the greatness of America, it rests with its people, not with its government. You couldn't have had a more stark comparison of two very, very different candidates, one who wants to give America back to you, and the other who promised that they would make government great again in the most massive possible way. I mean, I feel a cultural shift coming on, and I'm not sad about it. I have my arms wide open to it.
A few years ago, my good friend, who's a Christian and who also doesn't use clean language all the time, so
yeah.
I'll clean up what he said. He goes,
"So you're talking about me?
Why does it?" No.
Okay.
Well, I could have been talking about you, though. You're right. I'll just attribute this quote to you.
Never mind.
He goes, "I want to raise my kids Christian. How come you got to come along and take a dump on my values all the time?" And he didn't say dump.
Yeah. Yeah. That is what it is. The YouTube live chat poll. Will we see an orderly transfer of power? Yes or no? Ethan will come in here and give us those results. And he also has a fun song we're going to play for you, too. So join us on the Andy Fry YouTube channel. Vote. You can watch. I think there's a video with it, too. So we'll be back in just a minute. Don't go away. We'll wrap up in one quick break. Living in my agony. But he thinks everything I sing sucks because it don't sound like Hank. Oh, baby, I think beer goes good with lake and lake. Welcome back to the Andy Fry Show. We appreciate you being with us. Holy crap, it's 2:54. That went long.
Well, see ya.
I'm just looking right now as to what we need to do, and then I realized I have pudding on my headphones, so I don't even have my headphones on.
Do you have pudding in the studio?
I did. I ate it. Most of it. I didn't eat all of it.
Yeah, some of it got in your head.
Yeah, headphones. Some of it, I think it's in my hair. Oh, boy.
Oh, but what flavor?
Vanilla. You interested?
Kind of.
Here's some right here.
What brand?
E-Mart. From the thing
E-Mart.
Out there.
Oh, I was hoping for Swiss Miss, which is the number one brand.
Yeah, I know you're putting aficionado. Mm-hmm. Are we like out here in 90 seconds?
Yeah.
All right, let's do the YouTube live chat poll. Will we see an orderly transfer of power? 363 votes so far. What do you think, Ryan? You just kind of said it.
I do think we'll see an orderly transfer of power. The powers that be will attempt to make it so. I don't know if there's going to be any rioting like there was in 2016 when
Did you see the videos of the Trump protests in Chicago out by his hotel?
Oh, no, not in Chicago. I haven't.
It didn't like cut through the noise too much. I'm like, just because you get 75 people together to like shout at a hotel building. I don't know that we need to stop the presses for that. What about you, Brad? You think we'll see an orderly transfer of power?
I voted no. I think it's going to be similar to 2016. I think there will be some hissy fits thrown in the streets of D.C., but I think that's going to be about it.
I guess it really depends on what you mean by orderly transfer. Like, a lot of people commented this, but they're like, we had an orderly power transfer power last time.
Actually, that is true.
It's true. It depends on how much you ascribe.
Everything still
place.
Happened.
Well, you all voted, and then we have 367 votes. 368. They're coming in here hot. Yes, we will. 78% of you said we will. I think we will. I actually think that it's like the number one thing that the Biden folks need to do is make sure it goes smoothly, because that's all they've been running on to begin with. Mm-hmm. Mark Reardon, next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.